How are we doing?
Good, how are you?
Good.
And we'll get started in just a minute. We have a couple more people coming in. All right, so we'll go ahead and get started. Thank you all for coming today. Before we get into the news and updates, I just wanted to introduce a few people. We have a couple new staff members here at CROG and also a couple of interns. So staff-wise, we have Chris Henschy and Ryan Faulkner. I don't know if you guys wanna just say hi real quick so people know who you are.
Hi everyone, I'm a transportation planner with CROG. Nice to meet you guys.
I think Chris is on a call.
Oh, okay.
He'll be up in a second.
And we have two interns joining us as well. Stephanie Camp, want to say hi?
Hi. Nice to meet everyone.
And Ana Ria Ortiz.
Hi. Nice to meet you all.
Okay. Thank you. We're excited to have a bunch of new faces here. All right. Let's get into the updates and news. So an update on the statewide active transportation project that's funded by the CDC. CROG is spearheading this project on behalf of the state's Department of Public Health. Work is underway We're in our third year of funding, and we're working on a few projects right now. Developing our year four work plan. This is a 5-year grant, so we are working on that year four that'll start in October. And then we also, very exciting, we received an additional allocation of funding from the Building Resilience and Inclusive Communities program that'll be doing some work in Hartford and New Haven. So we're excited about that. And a couple projects that have been done or are about to be done. So first of all, we have the Waterbury Green painting project. So this was a demonstration project right at the Waterbury Green that took over about 6,000 square feet of streetscape and converted it to pedestrian use. So we did some bump outs, curb extensions, and a couple other things to help sort of better define the flow of traffic. Had dozens and dozens of volunteers. It was a great day, really nice weather that we had. As you can see, it was turned out to be a nice painting project that really, really shortens the crossing distance at some of these intersections here in Waterbury. A very exciting project. The city is very pleased, and the Arts Commission, which was instrumental in getting the project going, is also very happy with it. Had a lot of volunteers from the Arts Commission come out and help us paint, which was a great help. We also have another project coming up in this month. This is in Norwich on Central Avenue. We're doing 4 intersections that are going to be painted with curb extensions to shorten crossing distance as well as calm traffic. These are going to be done using the colors of various flags of nationalities that live in the neighborhood. So these are temporary improvements, but hopefully they'll be actually, successful and possibly adopted further down the line. This is scheduled for June 16th and June 17th. Hopefully we're not going to get rained out on that one. We already had to reschedule it once due to a material shortage, but we're really excited about this one as well. It's a nice, very very dense little neighborhood with a lot of shops and houses and churches and all sorts of destinations. So we really think this is going to improve things quite a bit. A little bit of a legislative update, Public Act 21-28, which was formerly House Bill 5429, I believe, or something along those lines. This is the bike ped safety proposal. It allows municipalities to change speed limits municipally on roads. Require motorists to grant the right-of-way to a pedestrian who is standing at the curb. I think actually part 4 was actually struck from the bill for that point 4, and require people in the vehicle to open the door with a degree of care for moving traffic. So this was passed, and I believe it's just waiting the governor's signature. So that's very exciting as well. Couple upcoming webinars. Pedestrian Bicycle Information Center has a webinar on June 15th called Safety on Arterial Streets. During this webinar, panelists will share the latest research on the safety, equity, and health challenges presented by arterials and what can be done to rebalance these streets for all road users. This is a particularly important issue in this region and in the state. A lot of the main roads are these arterial streets that are very busy, oftentimes very wide. So improving pedestrian safety is very important, but it's a very difficult thing to do. So we're excited about this webinar. I made a little shortened link for you there. Also, this presentation is available on our website, so you can download it, and all the links should be clickable if you're interested in registering for this webinar. From the Transport Hartford side of things, they have a couple of events coming up, including Hartford Bike to Work Breakfast on June 17th from 7:30 to 9 at Ashley's, which is right next door to Krog. And the link is there. It's a little bit long, but again, if you download the presentation from the event website for this meeting, you should be able to click the link and get to that Facebook event. There's the Keeney Park Fathers and Family Ride, June 19th from 8:30 to 10:30 a.m. This is at the Keeney Park Woodland Entrance. It's a monthly social and family-friendly rides. The ride will have a mini ride at the start for the littlest riders, and then a short 6 mile out and back on the Keeney Park multi-use trails. Again, there's a URL. You can find it at our website if you want to be able to click it, so you don't have to write down that entire link. And then the 2021 Hartford Bike Life Festival on June 26th, there is a registration fee, $20, but you can register online, take the bike and skills course, and then there's an opportunity to get an upcycled bike. So it's a very interesting event. And again, that's June 26th for the actual festival from 12 to 4 p.m. at the Ramon Quiroz Hudson Street Park in Hartford. And again, also here in Hartford, we, the Capital Region Council of Governments and the City of Hartford helped to launch a scooter share program. These are electric scooters called Link Scooters. And this launched April 22nd. There's around 150 scooters, more to come. I believe actually they're up to 200 or 250 now. When I put this together, there wasn't that many. There's a Link Up reduced fare program for low-income people. That's really interesting. So there's a way to get to that reduced fare. It's all available on the website there at link.city/linkup. And this has been really successful. I don't know, Sandy, if you have more up-to-date numbers, but I believe the last I had heard, they were averaging something like 6 rides per scooter, up to 9 rides per scooter on some of the weekend days. Something like 17,000 rides in the first few weeks. So it's been very successful. The company seems to be very happy with the uptake. I don't know if you have anything more to say on that.
Yeah, we're settling out into sort of a average trip per vehicle per day of about 3.5 as people sort of settle in with them. And there seems to be a fair amount of joy riding still. The scooters are now available throughout the city. At first, they were just available in the downtown. So we're anxious to see what sort of the demand locations are for scooters outside of the downtown. But we've been really happy with the performance of the system so far.
So if you get a chance, come to Hartford and hop on a scooter. Very easy, and they're very, unlike some of the initial e-scooters that have been put out there, these ones are really sturdy. They feel much more substantial than a lot of the earlier scooters, and they feel a lot safer to ride on. So I encourage you to take a trip if you get the chance. And then we have a couple of studies here at CROG that we're going to be starting up. The first one that's of interest to this group is an East Coast Greenway Gap Closure Study. As some of you may or may not be aware, the East Coast Greenway, which goes through the region, is almost complete in the region, except for a gap in Bloomfield, a gap in Hartford, and then a small gap in East Hartford. But other than that, our region has completed, or is going to be completing, their portions of the East Coast Greenway. These are the last ones that aren't really planned out. So we're going to be doing a study. It just got approved by the DOT. So this summer we'll be starting it, but it'll take a comprehensive look at the route for the East Coast Greenway through these three cities. And we're really excited about it. We did a similar study in Plainville and New Britain previously that came up with a great result that's actually going into construction now, or will be going into construction soon. It's in design right now. So we're really hopeful that this is going to come with a good solution for the route that can be embraced by the city and various stakeholders. And then another study that we have coming up, this is going to be a much smaller study, but we're updating our bike share feasibility study that was done in 2014. This was sort of, we had done this with the Greater Hartford Transit District and some other partners We had done a little feasibility study of how to start a regional bike share program, whether or not it was feasible, how much money it would cost, what the capital needs would be, what the ridership might look like, and what a business model might look like. This was all before kind of the big increase in interest in bike share programs, before e-bikes were really a thing for bike share programs, and before the for-profit bike share program started. We've since had a little experience. There was a Lime pilot in Hartford that was fairly successful at the beginning, but ultimately wasn't renewed. And now we have the Link scooter program as well. Scooters, of course, being a big change in the sort of micro-mobility industry. So we want to take another look at that, kind of update some of the technology discussion in that study, update the sort of capital needs, and take a deeper dive into the financial aspect of how we would get a system started for the region. We had previously done an RFP for a regional bike share system. We had chosen a vendor, and then unfortunately that vendor went out of business during the pandemic before we could really get the system started. So now we're going back to the drawing board a little bit, taking a look at whether or not there would be need to be some public subsidy involved, some public financing, and just sort of see what would be the most advantageous business model for the region to have a bike share program. So that's going to be starting up soon. We anticipate that one being a much shorter effort, probably around 6 to 8 months to get that finished. And I believe that is the last update I have. And actually, before we go into the what's new in your town, we have a presentation today from Sandy Fry. She'll be talking about the Reimagine Main Street effort. And I will unshare my screen. And Sandy, I'll make you co-host. I don't know if I need to, but I know that'll let you share your screen.
Tell me when you're ready.
I am ready. You should be able to share now.
Okay, it looks like I can. Can you see it?
Yes.
Okay. I just start the slideshow. So I'm really pleased to be able to talk with you about our Reimagine a Main Street project. We developed a design concept for Main Street in the downtown area from Willis Street on the south end up to Asylum Street on the north. And it was really an opportunity to step back and really think about what we want the roadway to look like. Our consultant for the project was Stantec, and the project started, we had our first advisory committee meeting on March 4th of 2020, and then all of a sudden, no more meetings, and we did find that we were still able to be pretty effective in getting input, and as probably a lot of people found, when you are able to have virtual public meetings, you may get more people involved than might happen otherwise. And we had a lot of good partners, including Transport Hartford, in terms of helping us to get the word out about the study. So we started off with developing these guiding principles. Number one, that pedestrians must be a priority. But in fact, in this principle, we were also including bicycles. Sort of a surprising thing with Main Street is it feels like it's a pedestrian, wonderful place, but yeah, the conditions deteriorate in a lot of places. We don't have sidewalks in good shape. They narrow in some places. So we really wanted to focus on pedestrians, number one. And then safety of all users, all roadway users, is critical. We wanted this to be a complete streets plan where we were recognizing the importance of everyone. Then we wanted Main Street to be designed to a human scale so that could encourage economic development, vibrant street life, and keep it right-sized with infrastructure that we're able to maintain. And then we want it to be a roadway that can support the surrounding uses through attractive design. So we started off with a public outreach session. We had an online survey. We had an online map that people could mark things they liked about Main Street, things that were a problem. We followed that up with a series of focus groups to look specifically at several issues, bicycle issues, pedestrian issues, design issues, transit issues, issues relative to the business community. And then that all culminated in a design workshop. It was a 3-day workshop. It was a charrette, but since nobody knows what charrette means, we decided we would call it a workshop because that's really what it was. And over 3 days, we had an opportunity at the end of the day for the public to come and see what was happening. And the consultants, you know, they had their team all in different places. They were coming together virtually as the rest of us were. And it worked really well. We had periodically throughout those 3 days, we had some stakeholder meetings just to delve into some issues a little further. This just shows what some of that work looked like in the virtual workshop. Then finally, we came up, this is the concept plan that has been developed. So the project begins, and I gotta get everybody's faces out of the corner of my screen because it's interfering with my view of my slides. Wait a minute. I can. Never mind. Okay. Anyway, so we started at the south end where the South Green is, or it's also known as Barnard Park. Really a historic location in the city. It was the original green in the city. The park has deteriorated over the years. So one of the elements of the plan is to revitalize the park and try to bring back some of the earliest design ideas for the park. You'll see if you look at, you know, the lower left, that's what's there today. The lower right is the proposed plan. You can see a roundabout right at Park Street, and there is a two-way bicycle facility on the east side of the roadway. With bike boxes at intersections on this southern end where we're transitioning from the two-way cycle track to other types of facilities. The roundabout will really be transformative in terms of the look of this area. And you can see in the upper right, looking further down Main Street, how that looks. Let me go to the next slide. As we proceed up Main Street, this actually goes a little too quickly because what you don't see, and I'm going to go back, what you don't see as we go, I don't know what it's doing. If you can see my cursor here up in this upper left, as we go north on Main Street, currently Main Street is extremely wide. Over 100 feet, ridiculously wide. It's as it's preparing to separate into Weathersfield Avenue and Main Street, right at the point of the park. So we're able to reclaim that space, provide some median space, and we also are providing an improved crosswalk, a mid-block crosswalk, right near the fire station. So one of the challenges as this project moves forward is to coordinate the timing of what we're envisioning to be a hawk signal, you know, where it goes blank periodically, combining that with an emergency signal for the fire station. And I understand it can be done. The hawk might look a little different. It might have to always flash yellow rather than going to blank. But we think we can really make major improvements in that area, and really improving that whole intersection of Park and Main to improve the street aspect for those two new developments that are shown as white boxes in this drawing, but those currently are under construction, well under construction. So as we go north, you can see the the two-way cycle track continuing along on the east side of the roadway. We have to provide three northbound lanes right at this location at Buckingham, Charter Oak, and Main Street. We will be, this is the location where we did the, well, you can actually see it in the lower left. You can see where we had a painted bump curb extension. And then I think the gas company came along and dug it up, and you can't see it around the whole intersection, but we're only going to bump out the curb into Charter Oak Avenue, not into Main Street, because we need all that cross section of Main Street in order to accommodate the two-way bicycle facility. Some people call those cycle tracks. I don't know if that's the preferred language, but it's a two-way cycle facility in that location. And you'll see in the lower right here how the cycle track has to divert a little bit further back behind the curb to provide the loading platform for the bus, for the bus stop. And we've got a crosswalk across the cycle track so that individuals going to and from the bus have a place where they're to cross. The bicyclists know they're to yield to the person in that crosswalk. As we continue further north, this is right at the federal courthouse. And I think this shows really how transformative this project can be when you look at the before and after images. And what we've done with this project is stayed within the existing curb lines. We have so many utilities under Main Street. We didn't want to have to deal with relocation, moving utilities. So we're just going with the current curb location and then building everything out from there. So the right-hand side of this cycle track is the existing curb location. And then we're building positive physical protection for the bike lane at that location. And one of the great things about this project, we have a repaving project coming up on Main Street. It'll happen probably this fall. That will include provision of buffered bike lanes on both sides of the roadway and removal of one lane of traffic in each direction, which is what this design concept requires. All our traffic analysis says that this will work, and we will find out when the repaving is done exactly how well it works. Continuing further north, another before and after, again showing the cycle track proceeding up along the street and what an improved activated 525 Main Street might look like. And you'll notice in the upper left, you can see a median in the roadway. The use of medians is somewhat limited because we need turn lanes in a lot of places, but wherever we could, we've provided medians. This is up by the Wadsworth. We're providing a mid-block crosswalk. It would have the rectangular rapid flashing beacon. We would use curb extension, painted curb extension, the width of the parking lane to shorten the pedestrian crossing distance. And the crossing distance is also shortened by the existence of the cycle track. And then finally, this is our most difficult location. This is from Gold Street to Gold Street to Pearl Central Row. And this is the main place that our bus operation takes place. And what you'll see we're showing in that upper left, we've got sidewalk, then the cycle track, then a platform for bus boarding. And there are crosswalks across the cycle track to get pedestrians to those bus boarding platforms. In order for this to work, the operations need to be tightened up on Main Street, particularly in the northbound direction. Too often there are buses sitting along the street, and we can't have that. The buses need to drop their passengers and move on. Connecticut Transit is going to begin implementing some minor changes that will take some of the traffic off of Main Street And there will probably need to be, when before we can actually construct this section, there will need to be a major operations, transit operations planning effort to make sure we don't have problems. Because you can see we've really thinned things down. Those buses are actually stopping in a travel lane that becomes a right turn and through lane. So we need to make sure that the operations are really tightened up so that a bus arrives, drops its passengers, moves on, comes back when it's time to leave town, picks them up, and moves on. So our cost estimate is just under $10 million for the entire project. We expect to proceed with the first segment, which would be from Barnard Park to the fire station at about $4 million, probably closer to $5 million because we'd want to do a portion of the landscaping that's indicated in that separate landscaping line item. But it makes sense to start with the smaller extent because we need to take care of the issues relative to transit operations, which is a longer term effort. So we hope to be in design within the next year to begin moving the project to construction. And I think that's all I have. If anybody has any questions, happy to answer them.
Sandy, that looks like a nice, ambitious project. Glad to see Hartford moving forward with that.
Thank you.
I was going to say the same, Sandy. It looks really exciting. And, you know, when you recognize all the areas you're talking about, trying to envision them the new way is really something. So,
yeah. If but only we could get it built right now during COVID.
But, you know, you go down Albany Ave and you see how places can change. So it's really exciting to see Hartford take on a new face.
Thank you. And, you know, it is kind of amazing what the landscaping does. I think when you drive down Albany Avenue now, I mean, it's narrowed, it's got beautiful sidewalks, but it's really those trees that really soften the roadway and make it a much more inviting place.
That and no power lines.
Yeah, that's true.
If we could get rid of power lines.
Yeah, Sandy, it looks good.
Thank you.
Do you have a sense of time frame on full implementation?
Well, we were hoping to get the consultant underway with final design like by now, but that's been somewhat delayed. So I'm hoping in the next 12 months we'll see that start up. Then it would take at least a year probably to get to the design documents.
But is there funding set aside?
No.
No, okay.
That's what's causing the delay right now.
Oh, okay. Details.
But sometimes, you know, you have to have the concept, the design first to motivate money being drummed up.
Oh, yeah, certainly.
I have a question, Sandy, on the landscaping question for Main Street, but also now that Albany is in place. I know DPW and Hartford, and they're not unique, would express concerns about like the level of leaf cleanup that was going to be required. And I was curious, like, do you think they plan on tracking that or anticipate substantial increases in their labor? We heard that frequently. I know weeds is like a whole separate issue. We have probably a staff of 100 to try to combat weeds.
Yeah. That's a good question. I think on Albany Avenue, I think Knox Parks is going to do some of the landscape maintenance, but I don't know that that would extend to leaf removal. And the first few years, of course, those are little trees with few leaves, so it's not such a big problem. But yeah, that's a good question. I mean, it to a large extent, I think adjacent property owners would likely Like if you think of streets in Hartford that are lined with trees, where the trees in the snow belt, the property owner would just naturally rake up those leaves. But.
Or blow them into the street.
Exactly.
All right. Well, if there's no other questions, thank you, Sandy, for the presentation. It's an excellent project, and I can't wait to see it actually implemented. I think it'll make a big improvement.
Thank you.
And I realize now that I forgot the minutes as the first item on our agenda. I always forget those. So the minutes were from March 9th, 2021. I would entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
So moved.
Patrice Carson will second.
Any discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? All right, it's unanimous. And we also always put on the agenda public forum, but I think we can just do that as part of our What's New in My Town section, which is the next thing on our agenda. So we'll just go through, I never know how to do this because Zoom always moves people around on my list. So hopefully I get everybody. But first on my screen is Eric Anderson. And if you just want to, right before you speak, if you want to introduce yourself, we do have a couple new faces.
Sure, my name is Eric Anderson. I'm the administrator for the town of Andover. So a few things on our plate. We have finally gotten to the point where we're pretty much ready to sign contracts for our connectivity grant project that will provide a safe crossing across Route 6 at the intersection of Long Hill and Andover, something that's been a long time in coming since it kind of divides the town in two, and half the town's amenities are on one side and half the town's amenities are on the other. It also has some improvements to the library, including redoing the ramp to make it a handicap accessible ramp and to make our library fully handicapped accessible. So that will be a welcome change in town and hopefully look pretty good aesthetically. The second thing is we invited the traffic circuit rider from the T2 Center to come work with the town, and where we spent a day basically driving all the roads in town and looking at specific recommendations on various different roads, both adjusting speed limits in some cases up, in some cases down, and then looking at where we're still, I'm proposing to the Board of Selectmen, we do a temporary, small traffic circle at a couple of our roads in Lake Road, and just see whether we can start getting some feedback from the public on that approach. And just basically, general efforts to try to encourage pedestrian traffic in kind of our more popular or more, concentrated for us areas. Obviously, we're the least populated town in the capital region. So when we talk about populated areas, we're not talking about thousands of people, because we don't have them. That's it from us.
Thank you. Let's see, next on my screen, actually Sandy. You're muted.
Oh. Yeah, I know, I have trouble sometimes hitting the button. Okay, the first update is this will be my last meeting with the CROG Bike Ped Committee because I am retiring. My last day is July 6th. So I feel like, it's been many years that I've had involvement with this committee since when I was the bike person at CROG. So I want to say that I am so happy to see how things have matured and the nice presentation that you have. I was thinking, oh my gosh, we were like a real rinky-dink kind of operation way back when. But what we're working on at the city right now is trying to make sure that nothing falls through the cracks. As I leave, we like Andover, it's really hard to get that CCGP grant in place. And ours is for a lot of bike lane placement, scraping of old markings and putting new markings down. And we haven't gotten that ready to submit to DOT yet. But hope to move that forward. We have a lot of really exciting things happening in the city. I think our complete streets plan will be adopted by council at their meeting. I think it's next week. They have a meeting. That'll be good to have that in place. But you know, the big thing is just making sure we transition things well going forward. Our Bike Boulevard project, which we're now calling Slow Streets, we will be implementing improvements with delineator posts and paint on three additional streets in the next couple months. They should be ready to go. It takes a while to get the delineator posts, but we think that they offer real promise, and we hope that we'll be able to sort of set a program for how you determine if they need to become, if they should become permanent because they've worked well. So that's an exciting project to have moving forward. And I was thinking so much about Main Street, I wasn't thinking about all the other things that are underway in the city, but it's exciting and we are really moving forward. I want you to know that.
All right, thank you. Let's see. Next on my screen, Chris Squires, do you have anything?
I've been thinking about a lot of stuff in town, and you know, they redid Ensign Street, which is right outside my window, and it's now become a really bad road since they double lined it, and it's, you know, so heavily trafficked into the college with all the school buses. One thing I'd like to see from like town hall, we're going to need a transportation study done from town hall all the way down to the south end to the college. I don't know if CROG wants to get involved in that or if we're gonna have to go through the town to get approval first and to see what's going on. But it's, you know, my street is just, it's bad. So something's gonna be done about this whole area with all the school buses and the traffic and Pratt & Whitney and everything else. So as far as the mayor, I've heard she wants to do something with the multi-use trail system in the town. She's looking for grants, but they haven't reached out to me or really anybody. So I don't know really what's going on. That's it.
Thank you. Michelle, you're up next.
Thank you, and congratulations, Sandy. I think I was at one of your first Bike and Ped meetings many, many eons ago. And we've come a long way. You always had such creative, innovative ideas, and I'd just be like, wow, where does she come up with these things? So you will be sorely missed. As far as South Windsor, you know, we're moving forward on our cross, the trail that they're proposing under the power line easements. I know they have a consultant on board for our Park and Recreation Department. They're out there walking it, and they're putting that under design. It's quite an ambitious project. I don't know how funding will occur, whatnot, but like Sandy said, you got to have the design first, so that's what we're focusing on for that. We do have a community connections sidewalk program that's going to be putting some linkages along our Clark Street and then along Pleasant Valley Road that'll tie into the mall for us, so we're excited about that. I have two applications being decided on tonight at Planning and Zoning. One of them is a zone change for a redevelopment of the, anybody knows the Geisler Plaza, Sullivan Ave Plaza on Sullivan Ave. There's a big kind of contentious question of whether or not sidewalks will be required along Sullivan Ave in that area, since it is kind of a tricky area with steep slopes and whatnot, state owned. So it's interesting, you know, we're really focused on being a walkable community, but there are situations where, you know, you wonder what's the right answer, whether to put a sidewalk in or not. So that'll be an interesting decision they'll have to make tonight. Evergreen Walk is moving forward with projects, and to Evergreen Walk's credit, we get more and more sidewalk linkages being put in as they put in more development projects down there. So that's truly remaining a walkable community, even though Costco will be one of their primary tenants. They say by the holidays, we'll see. They're moving pretty quickly. So the other thing that was just kind of interesting of note, you know, we go through a lot of rebuilding of roads over time, and one of our older roads, Beelzebub, for anybody that knows South Windsor, it has no drainage. It's, you know, got a lot of trees lining and whatever, one of those character roads. And much to the town engineer's surprise, when he did his public meeting, they want sidewalks. So sidewalks will be added into that project. So it's really just kind of interesting because, you know, people don't, you know, always come out and think that people don't want sidewalks, but, you know, we're starting to see younger families moving into our town, and we're seeing a growing desire for sidewalks. So I think we'll be adding sidewalks probably with every road project we do if the public has something to say about it. So we're always growing. Thanks.
Thank you. All right, Patrice, you're next on my screen.
Hello, everyone. And I echo all of Michelle's comments to you, Sandy. I believe I was also at that first bike ped meeting and some of your transportation meetings as well. So thank you and good luck in your retirement. From our standpoint in Bolton, we've been working on moving our connectivity grant project forward. We're in the very first stages of it, which is basically to provide a sidewalk-like trail. We don't actually have sidewalks in Bolton. We have little sort of asphalt or loose gravel trails, and this one is going to be running along Bolton Center Road that connects past Town Hall, so that you could conceivably walk from the elementary school to the high school. So that's where we are right now. That's about all we've done lately. So that's my report. I also wasn't here when you did roll call, Tim, so I'm not sure. Sorry about that.
Oh, no worries. Okay. All right. Bob Dickinson, do you have anything?
I hadn't planned on saying anything, but I know we have some reconstruction on Buckland Road in the future, and I'm hoping that something can be done there, possibly road calming, and possibly provisions for bike lanes on the sides, and just hoping it gets looked into. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, Amy, you're next. Oh, I think maybe Amy stepped away. We go to Peter.
Good afternoon. Peter Gillespie from the Town of Weathersfield Planning and Economic Development Office. A couple of things to note. We're pleased to announce that our Heritage Way bike path was designated as part of the Connecticut Greenways program. We had a ceremony last week, so we're very pleased about that. The month of May, we initiated a new event in Old Weathersfield, which we called Bicycles on Main Street. We had local residents, businesses decorate. I think we had over 60 bicycles up and down Main Street on display for the month of May, created great excitement, great buzz, and great support for the local business community. So that's a first time event that we think we will continue to do going forward into the future. We're hopefully wrapping up the final negotiations with the Connecticut DOT for the maintenance of the Putnam Bridge Trail. They've asked that both the town of Glastonbury and the town of Weathersfield assume maintenance responsibilities for the trail, and then the project can go out to bid. So I think we're near an agreement on that project. Finishing the final design for our LOTSIP project on Wilkett Hill Road at the Hartford City Line. And then lastly, finalizing our community connectivity grant program projects in Old Wethersfield, which include a couple of intersection improvements and a series of bike and pedestrian improvements. So we've been busy regarding bicycle and pedestrian activity here in town.
Excellent, thank you. Let's see, next on my screen, I have Thomas.
Hi, everybody. I'm sure I know most of you here, but I don't know if you all be knows me. My name is Thomas Regan-Lefebvre, and I am the coordinator at Transport Hartford. It's my first meeting with you. In terms of update, I think you already had some of our events, the ride, the breakfast, and so on. We did, in South Windsor, we took part in an audit, a work audit, and we're going to share this outcome of this audit shortly. There was also a work audit in Crotsville a month something ago, and we're going to share those report as well. I've been completely swamped on with the Transportation and Climate Initiative. You may have heard that this piece of legislation has been excised from the budget talk on Friday. And we've been trying very hard to try to revive, to keep it alive before the end of the session, which is tomorrow. And it's still, you know, it's still kind of moving. Apart from that, not much to report. We also are pressing for the bill that will define e-bikes as a vehicles, which will allow those e-bikes to receive some rebate as part of the EV rebates. And yeah, that's we're playing for various summer programs and so on. And we are very much looking forward to the Wethersfield bicycle swap event, which is coming is this weekend or next weekend, Peter or Kevin. Anyway, we'll be part of that as well. That's it for me. Thank you.
Thank you. Looks like Amy's back. Does Amy want to go ahead?
Yes, yeah, sorry about that. I had an emergency phone call right in the middle of the meeting. So Watch for Me is going well. We are we're working on two major new campaigns with the DOT and AARP. One is going to be for older pedestrians. So we really are moving forward with that. We have Cashman and Katz who have done a proposal for a campaign, and we're loving it. So we're really hoping that that's going to be launched this year to target basically older pedestrians and drivers to be more aware of older, you know, just people walking that are really the victims often of kind of skewed to older folks, our statistics lately. So we're looking to address that. And the other one is DUI, alcohol impaired driving campaign that we're also hoping to get some funding for this year. We're back to doing events. We'll be doing a walk audit in Waterbury, helping Sue Smith with that, doing some community events. So if you hear of or have events and want us to attend, we are happy to do so.
Thank you. All right, next on my screen, Bruce.
All right, thank you. Bruce here with the town of Farmington. Just some minor things going on. I mean, with the pandemic, I assume everyone's had an increase in their usage of their trails. So we've been going through looking at, number one, we've actually got funding finally for some porta potties. As stupid as it sounds, they are a good thing so far, because with the demand and the usage, it has really upticked with a lot of the complaints out there. We're running a safety campaign. Every so often we'll put stuff out through our newsletters and stuff, reminding people regarding the laws. Thank you for updating me on the new crosswalk law. I think earlier in the year I gave them the old law, so I'll have to send out a new one. But other than that, then mostly to economic development issues as well. We're also looking at putting a formal signage plan together to get to actually get people off the trails using the town centers and all the businesses in there. And that's about it.
Thank you. All right. And next on my screen is Kevin Sullivan. Like maybe Kevin has stepped away. And actually, that is, he is the last person, I believe. Did I miss anybody? Or did anybody think of anything?
I have two things, Tim. And I didn't know if you mentioned this and I just missed it. Did you talk about Trail Finder at all?
Oh, no, I did not.
I just wanted to say that it was launched. So Connecticut Trail Finder is now a published website. You can go and search for trails. There's popular trail searches that you can do, and it's statewide. I would also encourage anyone, and I think you can work with folks here at CROG as far as the data and stuff like that. But you can, if as a town, you essentially are the trail manager for your trails and trails, we can make sure that those get posted. You can also opt not to post certain trails in particular if there's concerns about overcrowding and whatnot, but it's intended to be a trail manager only approved website. So if you don't know about it, want to make sure that you do. And then the only other thing I had was Chris, regarding the trails question, the fact that you were hearing some maybe mutterings around in East Hartford, I wonder if it's related to the East Coast Greenway that CROG is going to be starting up, but it hasn't started yet. So you'll be hearing from us probably soon.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds good, because I know the town kind of dropped the ball on it. I don't know what happened, because where I originally planned to put it was behind the HOV lane, and everybody was saying, oh, let's go down Silver Lane. And then I'm like, okay, well, it's a short distance. Too bad we couldn't tie it into the Route 5 and 15 project, which would have been nice. You know, because that would have been a lot quicker, I think. But hopefully we can get something done with East Hartford, because I know the mayor is, you know, I've had issues with her in the past. She's a good mayor, but she's very heavy-handed on things, and she wants to keep everything close to her chest, don't reveal anything. I mean, for me, as an advocate in this region for the last 30 years, it's very frustrating when I don't even know what's going on in my own town, and they don't reach out to me. You know, because she thinks she knows it all and she's everything, you know. I tried setting up a bike and ped committee years ago, but thank God she's not running for re-election. So I'm going to talk to my council members in town and see what's going on. And then hopefully whoever gets selected mayor, I'll be able to put a BPAC together in town to look at new greenway corridors, which I'm already starting to look at. So I'll be waiting for you guys to hopefully, I would think in the fall, you're going to have a meeting with the gap study stuff, which will be nice.
All right. Anything else? Looks like Kevin was having some audio issues, but he has no updates. So, all right. If there's nothing else, then I believe we covered everything on our agenda. So I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll move to adjourn.
I'll second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Thank you all for coming.
Thanks, Tim.
Bye. Bye.